Hey, Smutters.
Hey, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Sorry we're coming in so late. I have been out of town, and this is the first chance we've gotten to do this.
Yes. So, it's been a week, right?
Yeah. Sorry, that was funny.
Yeah, y'all, we're in the process of moving. This is not fun. I'm sorry if anybody is going through the same thing, because it sucks.
It's the world's worst thing ever.
It really is. But I am excited. After everything's done, I'll be happy about it. But, yeah. So, Troy's been out of town for 2 weeks. That's why we didn't record last week. And I hated it, but...
But we still got to hang out some. You kind of visited halfway. We got a new restaurant.
Yes.
And I came home one weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. But I was too exhausted to really even think about the podcast right then, to be honest with you.
Yes. So while Troy was out of town, I got really good at Call of Duty.
You want to rephrase that?
I played a lot of Call of Duty. Yeah, so that's been the past 2 weeks for us, I think.
Yeah, essentially. I started a new job, guys, so that's the reason I had to go out of town.
Yeah, but he was in training.
It was pretty good. They literally gave me a lot of money every day to eat on. So now that I'm home, I'm starving to death.
I know, I was scared you were going to run away from home after all that. So tonight's episode... Here's how it came to be, okay? So, a coworker came up to me and handed me a note from another coworker, and it's Miss Nikki, and it had two ideas on there. And one of them said Hat Man, and the other one was the Allen House, because she had just listened to the Allen House in another podcast. And I was very into that story. It was very cool. So I listened to the podcast that she was talking about. There's nothing more you can say about it because it was so wonderful. If you want to hear about it, it's on Creeps and Crimes. They did amazing. They had the owner of the house on there. Listen to it. It's a really good story. So I decided we were going to do the Hat Man tonight.
Never heard of it, so this will be something interesting.
Well, it has to do with sleep paralysis.
Oh.
And you are no stranger to that, right?
I think maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Well, do you want to tell your story real quick?
Not really.
Okay.
But it scared the shit out of me. I will admit that. Like, I was asleep but awake, but couldn't move. And, like, I tried to, like, wake you up, and I couldn't talk or move or nothing. It was really scary.
It was heavy on your chest too, right?
Yeah.
Real heavy. So, yeah, that's exactly what sleep paralysis is.
Well, that is not fun for anybody, I promise you.
Well, the thing was, he's only had it once, you guys. And it was the time that we got back from Savannah, and you had brought that phone case.
That was inside the haunted house.
That was inside the haunted house that they wouldn't even let us go in the yard. Somehow Troy found a phone case on the yard.
It was a cool phone case.
Stuck in my purse. But it ended up making it home with us. And when I realized what it was, we got rid of it and everything went back to normal. But while we had the phone case, that's when Troy experienced sleep paralysis.
And I'm not saying that's why, but...
I mean, it's the only time it's ever happened. So there's that. So... Let's dive in to who the Hat Man is and what exactly sleep paralysis is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually very cool. Let's see. Numerous people claim to have woken up in the dark to find a shadowy figure dubbed the Hat Man looming over them. Now, do you remember seeing anything when you had sleep paralysis at all?
I don't think so.
I know you were really scared, but I don't remember you saying that. Now, the phenomenon has attracted widespread attention, inspiring documentaries and the launch of a dedicated blog, The Hat Man Project. And you guys, I looked up The Hat Man Project, just top it in, and it's tons of stories of encounters of the Hat Man. Something that probably began with the trick of the light as processed by the human subconscious has become a dominant character within the digital culture. The spooky being has inspired its own lore and countless witness reports, lately fueled by TikTok's fascination with the paranormal and the occult. Now, who is the Hat Man? It is not a new phenomenon. For about as long as written records have existed, people have described a frightening nighttime vision that paralyzes them with fear and seems to suck the breath right out of them, often pressing directly upon their chest. The shape of the frightening figure occasionally varies, but victims usually report feeling utterly paralyzed with terror and breathless, as if the fear had frozen them from the inside out.
That was me.
That was you. Now, the strange vision is remarkably consistent from one account to the next. It's a tall silhouette of a man in a brimmed hat and a presence that tends to appear when you're in bed at night, somewhere between sleep and consciousness. Now, of course, said Rolling Stone, as more people talk about Hat Man online, the more power the myth obtains, and the image becomes self-perpetuating as those consuming it automatically become disposed to recognize the Hat Man in their own bedrooms. So, what is sleep paralysis? Now, 1 in 5 people have an episode of paralysis, at least occasionally. And according to the Seattle-based Sleep Foundation and company, hallucinations are very common. Sleep paralysis blurs the line between sleep and wakefulness. So a person starts to become aware of their surroundings, but is still in a state of temporary paralysis called mesolatonia. Which, what that does is, when your body goes to sleep and during your REM phase of sleeping, it protects us from acting out our dreams. So it temporarily paralyzes you. So if you're running in your dream, you're not running in your sleep, because you could definitely hurt yourself, but that's why it does that. While the exact cause of hallucinations like the Hat Man are unknown, experts believe they occur when people experience the vivid dreams of REM sleep while they are awake. Some say the idea of the Hat Man may be subconscious reworkings of figures from popular culture, including popular horror films in recent times, such as Freddy Krueger. Now, if you notice, Freddy Krueger does have a hat on. So, you know, the kids are kind of awake, kind of asleep in the movies, and then this scary man with a hat comes, you know. So it kind of feels like that's where they got the idea for the movie. Now, they're saying that people fear supernatural demons in the night and are more likely to experience the phenomenon again. For centuries, cultures across the world have attributed these hallucinations to black magic, mythical monsters, or even paranormal activity. After comparing how different cultures explain and experience sleep paralysis, it appears that more people fear sleep paralysis the more they experience, and the stronger the effects are. Accompanied by a belief in the paranormal, sleep paralysis can therefore be not just frightening, but traumatizing. So that's pretty much a rundown on what it is. You're halfway awake and halfway asleep, and the part of your brain that paralyzes you hasn't completely woke up. So that is what sleep paralysis is. But I found that fascinating that since records have started to be kept, that there have always been reports of the Hat Man. You know it?
Yeah.
So I found a story. And it's kind of a long story, but I love it. It's so great. So y'all just kind of relax, because this is a good one. This is called I Took the Benadryl Challenge and I Met the Hat Man. And I don't know if he's a friend or a foe. My name is Dee. I had a spinal laminectomy surgery back in 2019. The surgery was a success, but there was already a severe amount of damage done to my spinal cord. Enough damage that the stenosis left me paraplegic. I can't walk or put any pressure through my legs. I have very little movement or sensation in my lower body. So every minute of every day is spent in a wheelchair or in a hospital bed. I took my mobility for granted and often joking that my main goal in life was to never work again. I've achieved my goal, but I'd give anything to take it back. It's the single biggest regret not taking better care of myself and living mostly a sedentary life. I completely blame myself for my condition and I feel like a burden no matter what everyone tells me because I don't have any family who's able to care for me. I'm somewhat forced to stay in a nursing home until a better arrangement can be made. The food here is strictly for nutritional purposes. It's definitely not gourmet and the taste is super bland and everything comes out of a bag or from a can. I mean, most of the time it's edible, but it's often unidentifiable on the worst days. Luckily, on the rare occasions that I have some spendable income, we're allowed to order takeout, which is nice. Riggins is making an appearance, y'all.
He's been really sick, too. So for him to be vocal, this is actually good, but I'm sorry it's disturbing.
He does it every time we record. Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, every single time. Okay. So I have a room to myself, which I'm very grateful for. And some of the more elderly folks here have to share a room. Their memories are failing, so they hardly even realize they have a roommate. I made friends with some of the staff, and I'm one of the longest tenured residents here. I've been here longer than the majority of the staff, and there's a horribly high turnover rate. The level of care here leaves something to be desired, but every time DHEC visits, they've done just enough to pass inspection. It's frustrating for sure. Being understaffed and underappreciated causes a lot of call-outs, leading to confusion when it comes to scheduling. The employees who do show up are often responsible for more residents than they're legally supposed to have. Every day, I have an ungodly amount of medications, with my med pass starting at 9 a.m. and going on periodically until 9 to 10 p.m. There's too many medicines to name here, but to sum it up, I take a pill to help me sleep, one for depression, anxiety, a blood thinner, and as needed, narcotic pain tablet, among many, many others, less significant meds. As time goes by, I play video games on the big screen TV that my best buddy and I set up for me to watch. I watch my streaming services and horror movies.
Excuse me, guys. I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm getting sick.
On my laptop, or I watch sports on the facility-provided 24-inch TV that's mounted on the wall. It's not too bad. I do get bored, and I constantly feel isolated and lonely, and I have a healthy fear of becoming institutionalized due to being monitored around the clock. I feel like it could be happening without me really realizing it. I'm in my late 30s, but I feel like a mix between being a baby or an elderly invalid. However, I do occasionally get care packages from friends and family who aren't close enough to visit. I'm so sorry for the incredibly long introduction, but I think it's important to get a feel for what my day-to-day life is like, as if that first part wasn't scary enough. Here's why I'm writing all this today. Being like any other bored elder millennial, I get into the trends, only kind of, way later than everyone else. I was watching YouTube videos, TikToks, and scouring Reddit when I wandered across a video and a subsequent post about the Benadryl challenge. Now, y'all, this tells how to do it, and I'm not condoning this at all. But if you try it, let me know. And absolutely no way am I recommending that to anyone to attempt this. Had I thought it through a little more, I wouldn't have even considered trying. Essentially, this challenge is to take enough antihistamine pills until you black out and start feeling sort of high. But for me, it was supposed to be like a way to hallucinate or kind of trip. It's just a lot cheaper and easier than LSD or shrooms. I kept researching and saw some terrifying reports of people hearing voices, seeing shadow people, or becoming overwhelmingly paranoid. Then the absolute worst claim of all was sightings of an enormously tall, shadowy figure wearing what could only be described as a hat and a long coat with red or yellow piercing eyes. No other discernible features or characteristics, just an all-black, wispy, floating shadow. These sightings were almost always accompanied by a tremendous feeling of deep dread, and some people claim that the Hat Man approached them and told them things, ranging from clairvoyant and helpful to inspirational, all the way to the other extremes of threatening, hateful, and haunting, maybe even reminding you of a terrible event of your life. There were mixed reports of seeing the Hat Man even after the trip was over, and they were lucid again. People claimed to have recurring dreams of new encounters with the Hat Man, and you know, sometimes we watch disturbing things out of sheer curiosity, like wanting to look away but rubbernecking at the car wreck as you drive by, if that makes sense. That's how I felt about seeing the Hat Man. It seemed really fascinating but totally horrifying at the same time. So I started planning a way to get my hands on as many pills as I could. And again, I do not suggest doing this. I want to be very clear. So I can ask for and receive over-the-counter medications pretty much whenever I need them. You see, every day or every other day, I'd ask for a Benadryl. And because I have very sensitive skin, I get it with no questions asked. I'd pretend to take the pill and slip it into a baggie. I kept it in a book bag next to my bed. After I saved 12 pills, I felt like that was enough for a try. I had seen where some people were taking 20 to 30, sometimes even more at one time. I was not dedicated enough to try that many at once. I just figured that they didn't work. I'd just save up more and try again. So the plan was, on that coming Friday night, I'd have an on-duty nurse put Benadryl into my night meds to make a grand total of 13 at one time. I'd take my regular scheduled medications and then pop the extra Benadryl once the nurse closed my door. I passed that day by flirting with a hot CNA who works here. She is big time into ghosts, demons, and other paranormal stuff. She likes to tease me by telling me how an old lady passed away in my room and how during the night shift they see her and hear unexplainable things in the hallway. I was becoming increasingly nervous waiting for my nighttime meds to pass. Let's see here. I'm trying to skip around because this is a lot. Okay, we're getting to it. The nurse finally came and dropped my meds. It was time. I took everything at once with an entire cup of water. I tilted the bed into a more comfortable position and continued watching old reruns of the X-Files until the medications took effect. It wouldn't be too long, maybe 20, 30 minutes before I started to feel everything kicking in at once. As a tidal wave of chemicals hit my brain, I felt the darkness start to envelop me, slowly pulling me under. I could still hear the sounds from the TV buried in the background, but my ears were flooded with the roaring noises of blood rushing through my body and my steadily calm heartbeat. I felt like I was awake, but I knew that couldn't be true. I was standing in a world of blackness. It was difficult to wrap my head around what was going on. I was free to walk around and explore this vast unknown darkness that was all around me. I walked around exploring a bit, and I saw some shadowy figures huddled together whispering to each other. They paid me no mind as I walked by. I could hear disembodied screams and footsteps all around me. I swear I could hear the voice of the hot CNA I mentioned earlier. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him stalking me. The Hat Man. He was darker than everything else, like I was looking into pure darkness. Then seeing this entity, his silhouette was a darker shade, if that makes any sense. The Hat Man was ominously darker than anything else in this place. Here's the other strange thing. I didn't even have to ask if he was a Hat Man. It was like I just knew. He approached me slowly, and I could feel his eyes boring holes right through me. I don't think I've ever been more terrified than I was right then, but I felt frozen, completely unable to move or run away. And then he spoke to me. But it wasn't like audible words. It was more like his voice being echoed in my head, like how you think to yourself, only these weren't my thoughts. And definitely not in my voice. The Hat Man's voice ranged from deep and soothing like James Earl Jones to a gravelly demonic rumble. He would first speak to me using the soothing voice. I know why you're here. That's good, because I don't. It's true what the hot CNA told you. People have died here. They do stare at you while you sleep. But not you. No, you won't die here. You have other things to do. Well, what's that supposed to mean? I asked. I think you know what I mean. One day you'll get to leave here. Happily surprised, I asked, really? How long until I get to leave? It doesn't work that way. I tell you what I want you to know. Getting slightly annoyed, I said, well, that's just some bullshit. This is when I got the first taste of the demonic voice. No need for expletives. You're invading my home, remember? An embarrassed sorry was all I thought out. His voice returned to the soothing one, only it felt like a put on to try to calm me down. I can't tell you everything up front. That'll ruin the fun. Okay, so now what? Was my reply. He changed the subject and began telling me about upcoming events. Rather natural or man-caused, horrifying occurrences, unspeakable things that were to take place over the next few months, years. Even I'm choosing not to go into details here. I do believe in speaking things into existence, and I don't want any of that being held on my conscience. Just know it's some awful shit. But basically, like things that already happen every day, so it'd be difficult to pinpoint the accuracy of the predictions. His reddish eyes then sharply narrowed, and I felt like he had a mouth. He'd be smiling. But it felt really evil, and I don't know how to describe it, but it wasn't natural. I mean, shit, none of this was natural, but you get what I'm saying, right? His last message is one that really frightened me more than anything else. Since you decided to visit my world, I may on occasion visit you in your world. The next thing I remember was waking up. I grabbed my phone to see what time it was. I had slept for 10 hours straight, but I did not feel rested at all. My mind was hazy and struggling to comprehend what I had just experienced. 5 nights later, the hype man would visit me for the first time on this plane of existence. I was watching TV and listening to some music on my phone, my earbuds flooding my ears with the sounds of Voodoo Child. It was pretty late around this time when I'd start to drift off to sleep, and suddenly his demonic voice cut through the music in my head. I visited Hendrix once, ironically the night before he passed. I tried to warn him of his impending death, but he ignored me. He accused me of not being real, and he said I was killing his buzz, man. He intimidated Hendrix's voice with the last part of a scarily accurate impersonation. I ignored it the best I could. I could tell you how you die, he continued. This piqued my interest a bit. Is that so? Yeah. There was a long and comfortable pause. But I'm not gonna, he teased me. Why are you here? I asked. Do you not remember I told you I'd visit you in your realm someday and I can do whatever I want? I didn't respond. I just focused on trying to fall asleep. But it seemed as if he was still there, just staring at me. And it felt like hours I lay there awake. Until when I woke up in the morning, not even remembering falling asleep. I wanted to get more accounts of this entity and hopefully figure out how to make him stop. I read a post comparing the shadow realm to liminal spaces like that of the back rooms. It's like it exists everywhere and nowhere at the same time. And I stumbled upon a blog called The Hat Man Project, which detailed several encounters with this entity, the overwhelming majority being negative and off-putting. These stories dated from the mid-2000s up to and including stories from this year. After thoroughly scaring the shit out of myself, I started doing my best to ignore those feelings and not think about that stuff anymore. My reprieve from the Hat Man would only last a few nights, maybe a week later. My night meds were just starting to lull me into a sleepy state, and I was relaxing, watching a basketball game on the TV. The Lakers are going to lose, you know. I was now wide awake, a chill running up my spine, only I couldn't see him, just hear him. Not now, dude, I'm sleepy, was all I remembered muttering. But for the record, the Lakers did in fact lose the game. And this was very quickly becoming a nuisance that I had absolutely no control of. I drifted off into an inky black darkness, a world one of shadows. Strange voices then surrounded me, and the voices were hard to make out, but it was taunting me. He's going to get you. You're going to die there, being repeated over and over in different tones and maybe even different languages. And next I felt a countless amount of hands touching me, scratching, pinching, shaking me, groping me. I swear one of those bastards even poked me in the eyes, Three Stooges style. You get me, right? I felt my heart racing like it might beat out of my chest. I woke up in a cold sweat, still heaving for air. Without a doubt, it was the most frightening experience in my life, and it was still mostly dark outside. I checked my phone, and it was 6:03 in the morning, and the sky was starting to brighten. Were you aware that there's been as many 400,000 reports of seeing the Hat Man since the internet has been recording written experiences, but none that I read seemed as intense or petrifying as the one I just had? It took a few days for me to fully get over what happened that night, and I still can't really think about it without getting a terrible case of goosebumps. It didn't really help that I always feel very isolated here, especially at night, and my room at the facility is pretty close to the same layout of a decently priced hotel room. There's a counter with a shelf, a drawer, and a cabinet, and there's a microwave on the counter and a mini fridge underneath. I have a full bathroom with a drain on the floor, making it basically a showering area with a shower head and emergency call button on the wall. One night, that cascade of light coming from the bathroom just felt off. There was a slight electric feel in the air, and an unusually cold breeze stirred around. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a black silhouette pass by that wedge of light leaking from the bathroom, and before I could turn my head to get a better look, the shadow was gone. You guys know how you feel a presence, even if you can't see it? That's exactly how this was. This feeling never left. I just became used to it, I guess. And when I drifted off to sleep, I sunk directly into a dream. I was walking through a suburban housing community, and every house was very similar in size and shape. Equally distant streetlights peppered the sidewalks. It felt like an idyllic place to live, probably upper middle class, if I had to guess. The lawns were all neatly kept, bushes and trees appeared to be immaculately pruned, and the moon looked enormous in the clear night sky, not a cloud to be seen. And suddenly, every front door on every house opened at once, and slowly but steadily, the home's occupants shambled out in the quiet night. They walked to the edge of the sidewalk and gazed up at the moon, and in unison, they began to scream, an ungodly howl, unlike anything I'd ever heard before. Not animalistic, just haunting. And at once, every person started to gesticulate. It somewhat resembled the jerking and erratic movements of that little girl in the movie The Ring. Could you freaking imagine? No. This was beyond unnerving. How just minutes earlier, this place was so peaceful and unassuming. I tried to hide as to not draw their attention. I ducked behind a tree and inadvertently snapped a limb, causing the entire community to look in my direction. Their heads all tilted to the side and their jaws started to come unhinged from their cheeks. They began to shuffle towards me, repeating, "Get the interloper," over and over again, and I hadn't even noticed that the moon was no longer in the sky. Now it was nearly pitch blackness engulfing me. Just then, a wispy mist cut between the approaching crowd and myself, slowly evolving into a wall of this kind of cloudy darkness, and out of the clouds stepped the Hat Man. And as soon as the people laid eyes on him, they stopped dead in their tracks. The Hat Man raised his arms in a threatening gesture, and the crowd quickly dissipated back to their houses. I didn't know whether to feel relieved or even more panicked. He didn't turn to me. It was like shifted himself, front to back to face me. His eyes like lasers burst directly into my soul. He sort of floated towards me. Are you guys familiar with the idea of the uncanny valley? It's like seeing something that's almost human, but only not quite. That's the eerie feeling I got looking into the Hat Man's eyes, and I was frozen in place again, unable to move, no matter how much I tried. He kept moving towards me, and just before he could touch me, he vanished, and I woke up. I was back in my bed, shaking uncontrollably, a cold sweat on my pillow, and I glanced at my phone. It had only been a little more than an hour since I had fallen asleep. I pulled up my laptop and watched the X-Files until morning. It's a comfort zone. The last most recent experience came just a few nights ago. I was just doing my thing, watching TV, and there he was in the corner just behind me. I only noticed when I saw his reflection on the TV screen. As soon as I was aware of his presence, I felt my chest tighten and a nervous feeling came over me, and the Hat Man started to speak to me. "Hello, friend." Friends don't stalk each other and scare the shit out of them, I thought. Clearly, you've never seen Scare Tactics. That's literally the premise of the show. His voice leaned towards the evil, demonic one. He was right. Fair enough, I admitted. But why me? Don't you have other people to terrify? I asked. He made a laughing sound. I do. It's just your turn. What can I do to make you leave me alone? Again, he made the laughing sound. You came uninvited to my realm, and that gives me permission to attach to you. You can't get away from me, and like I've already told you, I'll visit you whenever I see fit, and the only thing you can do is get used to it. The weight on my chest became heavier, tightening around my heart. I did my best to ignore it again, and after who knows how long I fell asleep, and that's it for now. Now, that's the end of that story, y'all. But he posted updates. Now, as soon... this goes on for a little while, and the hat man basically lets him know, they kind of turn into friends, which is weird. He lets him know how much he hates Bon Jovi and how much he sucks. And he also let him know that he is the Mothman. He is the Jersey Devil. Any cryptid you see, that is him. He is everything. He is demons. It is all him. And at the end of the update, he lets him know that he needs to be ready for the end of March 2024 to the beginning of April 24, because there is going to be something cataclysmic that happens. He said he won't tell him what it is, but he will know it when he sees it.
Yeah.
He says he's the Wendigo, the Rake, the Smiling Man. And we've done stories on all of these things. He did really like the song Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones. And he did let D know how bad he sucked at playing Call of Duty on PS4. Like, he kind of just, they turned into buddies because I think, you know, he didn't really scare him. It was actually somebody to talk to him and kind of tease him and stuff, you know.
Right.
Now, he did, you know, bring the demonic voice out every now and again. But he did let him know, and he had to, you know, he had to keep his status. He's the hat man. So, you know, it kind of seems like when they started to be friends that he would kind of reel him back in with doing something ridiculously scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Riggins is whining right now. I know y'all can hear him. The comments are like, I just hate this so much. And somebody's like, you talk with an entity that is completely controlling your life without you even realizing it, and you easily believe in his words. He's messed your brain up. So one of the longest conversations they had, he had to have an MRI, and that's when they start talking a lot and kind of joking around and stuff. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's terrifying, but I do like the relationship that they have, where he's just like, you kind of suck at this. But yeah, that is the Hat Man, you guys. Definitely go on the Hat Man Project. There are so many stories of different accounts, and the person that started the Hat Man Project, let me get this so I can tell y'all, let me look it up real quick, because the man that started the project is writing a book, and I can tell you what that is. Now, the man that started the project, his name is Timothy M. Brown Jr. And let me scroll down to the bottom. Okay, and he's writing a book right now. It's called The Hat Man, His Identity Revealed. And it says, there will be no cost for the book. If you are interested in receiving a copy as soon as released, click the button to the right and you'll be added to the mailing list and will be sent a copy of the book as soon as it's completed. So, I think we may be getting that book.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys, I'm sorry it was kind of long. I really enjoy that story. I like the attitude of the guy, and I like their give and take, their weird relationship. So I want to let you guys know, if you want to read the update, the story is on Reddit. Just look up the Hat Man and you'll find it. It's under No Sleep. And you can read the full update. It's very entertaining, if anything. I just did not want to keep y'all and y'all have to listen to my voice for an hour just reading. So thank you guys for listening. Let us know if you do want us to do the Allen House. If you want to listen about that, definitely Creeps and Crimes. They are fantastic. It's such a good show that they did. I just didn't feel like I could do any better with what they did because it was wonderful.
Yeah.
But all right, you guys, Drink lots of water and make good choices, and we will see you guys next Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.